Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
We head north of the border. A driver who picked up what he thought was a dead bald eagle off a BC highway got quite the shock after the bird started to show signs of life in the back seat of his van en route to the conservation office. William Rice told the CBC he was driving north on Highway 97 when he stopped to scoop up the apparently lifeless bird as it was being attacked by crows. Crows are just vicious.
They really are.
They are. And the seagulls, they attack the eagles in downtown Seattle as well. While en route to 100 Mile House, Rice heard a rustle from the back of his van and looked back to then see the eagle staring at it right in his eyes. He said, I'm like, hey, crap, this bird is alive.
How Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. He said it's possible the eagle had a concussion of sorts and was completely knocked out before it revived in the moving vehicle. You can kind of imagine, you know, sort of spreading its wings around and trying to get readjusted again. I mean, how much of an impact it would have had to you in the vehicle that was moving down the highway. I didn't want to be in the vehicle. The full-size adult eagle, by the way, which was placed in the back seat of the van, woke up what is presumed to be a concussion-induced sleep while he was driving. The eagle is now doing well, by the way, and will eventually head to a rehabilitation facility. By the way, this is the second time that this has happened to this guy in the last 4 years.
What?
Yeah. He basically rescued an owl 3 years ago that he saw on the road as well and took it back, and they took it to a lower mainland facility and rehabbed that. Our men's room blank question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mayor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hi.
Hola.
Hola. I got two things for you. One, I need your grease. Two, go cracking.
Okay. Need our grease and go cracking. I dig it. So what happened to make it not an ordinary day?
All right. Well, I was driving in Northern California, doing some work. We're looking at a new project out there on a highway. The highway had been realigned in multiple projects to kind of made this highway safer. Well, the last 4 miles of the highway were what we were looking at, the unsafe section, and apparently the most dangerous section of the highway in California. And I had been driving and talking to landowners along the highway, but I just left some people's house. There's no service. They kind of gave me this big warning. Hey, when you get to the top of the pass, it's getting snowy. Make sure you got everything you need because there's no service up there. So I go about 5 miles down the road. I'm going to the top, thinking about this highway. How are we going to build it? Why is it so dangerous? There's a little river along the highway on the left, and there's a cliff coming down to the right. Well, I come up to a corner, and I start slowing down. And a car comes upside down around the corner into my lane to a stop.
Was there snow on the ground at this point, I guess?
There's a little bit of snow starting as I'm kind of going up the hill, up the pass, and there's more snow as you go kind of thing. And I could see them flipping and skidding, second by second, just thinking, had enough time to think, am I going to hit this person? And really what was going on in my head was, if I had left these people's house 10 seconds later, I would have been in the middle of the turn, just by a few second difference, and there would have been no saving it. Well, they come to a stop, I come to a stop, I jump out, the lady is hanging upside down, you know, head almost scorpion, you know, like head crushed, not crushed, but all squished up to her shoulders, upside down in the road, in the car. And I've had some first aid training, so I know, like, hey, if I can leave her where she is, if she's got a spinal injury kind of thing, like, that's the best. If I can just leave her there, and she's crying and screaming, and I'm talking her down. So I have to go call 911, and I don't have service. So I go back to these people's house after talking to the lady. I'm just telling her, hey, I'll be right back. Tell them to call 911. I come back. No one else is there yet. She's crying. Someone else comes up. Finally, behind me, you know, before the paramedics, this guy is an off-duty fireman. I couldn't have been happier to see him. And he reaffirms what I was doing was, you know, don't let her, or don't take her out, because we don't know if she's got a spinal injury, no seatbelt kind of thing. And but before the paramedics got there, she kind of got her wits about her and crawled out on her own. And he said the technical term, like self extricated herself from the car. You know, he's a fireman, he's got all the lingo, and you can obviously smell there might have been a little bit of some drinking going on, and we just got to keep her calm, and paramedics show up and strap her to the board and all that and take all of our statements. And then I keep going on my way, and I get to the top of the pass, there's a lot more snow, and I start coming down the other side. And there's a hitchhiker. I'm like, what the hell is the guy doing up here? I mean, the story really should have ended there, but, you know, I'm not going to leave this guy on the side of the road at the top of the path. I'm already shooken up. So I pull over. I pick him up. But he had looked, you know, like he's had better days. He's got a sleeping bag draped around his neck. And kind of looks like he had also been indulging on other things. And, you know, I look at him straight in the eyes before we get in the car. I go, like, what are you doing out here? He tells me, he goes, sometimes I need to get away from, you know, civilization, and I go hike around the woods. And when my medication runs out, I know it's time I got to start getting back. So this guy, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's unmedicated. And I'm like, well, just so you know, I'll let you in the car, but we're going straight to a hospital and I'll drop you off, like, in the driveway. I'm like, this is the plan. So then I'm white knuckle thinking this guy's gonna rob me or steal my car or take everything I got. But I finally get down to Reading and drop him off and go to Sherry's. I get some pecan pie and some Bud Light.
Northern California is kind of an adventure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is what I've heard.
I gather.
I like that there's a guy on a mountain pass just walking there with a sleeping bag. It's like, I knew something was off.
So I picked him up. And he tells me he's unmedicated. Like, you're not getting in my vehicle at that
point. When the meth runs out, I'm going home.
You know, that was my thought.
Men's Room Blank Question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
Is it medicine or is it daddy's medicine? Right. Two different things in my home, you know?
Yeah, well, like, I mean,
there's medicine I take. You know, I have a headache or I have heartburn. And then there's what I have referred to as daddy's medicine when the kids ask. And chances are it's located in a beer bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, prescription medicine or daddy's? It's a big, big, big difference. Because mommies have mommy medicine, too.
Yeah. What are you doing out here? What do you think he's doing out there? Drugs.
Exactly. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, all Zach, right. What happened to you?
So, my sisters were all, they're all much younger than me. And so, when it was their birthdays, I was usually, like, making an appearance at the house for them. So I would take them on, like, a day just for me and them, and we would go and spend the day and have fun and do whatever they want, right?
Uh-huh.
And for my youngest sister's eighth birthday, and she wanted to go see a movie with me, and so I was like, all right, let's go. And we hopped in my truck, and this was my first truck, and I, me and my dad, we had built it, or rebuilt it, and it was my pride and joy. And we were driving to the movie theaters, and this is over in the Kitsap Peninsula, so it's kind of out in the boonies. And as we're driving down the road, my sister goes, oh, wow, look at that. And I just kind of glance over, and I see this big, snowy, white owl flying across the road. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a beautiful owl. And it was just totally majestic, right? And then it hit my truck. It went spread eagle on the radiator of my truck. Then went, got sucked in through the radiator and completely munched to dust shredded chicken.
Oh, no. And what is your sister thinking when this happens?
So she started to cry, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, Sammy, I'm sorry. It'll be okay. We're okay. And she goes, I'm not worried about your truck. You killed Hedwig.
Oh, Jesus. She made it personal.
Nothing's going to help you. Did you still go to the movie?
We did. We did. It was the last trip that truck ever made. Did was making it to the movie theater.
Tell me you went to see Harry Potter.
So you said the owl did not make it.
No, it was shredded chicken. It was about the extent of what it was in all in the belts and the.
I was gonna say I was worried about that when I ran over that family of pheasants.
When you got to the movie theater, did she have to look at the grill of the truck?
She was gonna go look to see if the owl was safe inside. She's like, maybe it just hitched a ride. And I was like, you know, let's just go straight in. And I walked around the tailgate and went straight in.
And those things, man, people don't realize, they're like 7-8 pound birds.
Yeah.
I mean, minimal. If you hit a full size,
they're a big ass bird.
That is not like hitting just a bird and bouncing off it.
You know, it's not that you want a lot of kids, but in those instances, over Christmas, we're in Pennsylvania, we're driving back to the airport, but it's like a 4-hour drive. So we're going through rural Pennsylvania, which is everywhere in Pennsylvania that is not Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. And the kids have been dozing off in the backseat. And I swear my daughter wakes up in just enough time to see the squirrel get indecisive about what direction it wants to go. But then you just hear the. As we drive by, right? So I'm like, oh, man, right? And my daughter's like, Daddy. And I'm playing stupid. Like, yeah, baby, what's up? Is that squirrel dead? I'm like, no. I think he just hit his head on the bottom of the car. You know, he's probably just rubbing his little head. And she buys it, right? She's like, okay. And I look at my son, and he's shooting me daggers like, bull ass. But it was that unspoken agreement. I'm like, look. You know it's dead. I know it's dead. But neither of us feel like dealing with your sister because she will melt down. Right? Mm-hmm. She's that person. So we just say, yeah. That squirrel's fine. I look over at my wife. My wife's like, that squirrel's dead as F. I'm like, I know, baby.
Squirrels are tough.
Yeah,
tough.
We're like, oh, yeah, he's sure just are. Rubbing his little head.
Yeah, it's a Pennsylvania squirrel. Some of the toughest around.
They're fine.
Men's Room Blank question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
Oops. Hang on there. Hello, Troy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Well, I'll make this a long story short here. I'm actually at the hospital where I had all this happen, but let's start at point A. About 2 years ago, I found out I had cirrhosis of the liver, and one day last fall, I was coming out of my drug and alcohol counseling. Throw off kudos to him. And anyway, I went outside to get picked up by my brother to give me a ride home, and I couldn't find him, and so I wandered around for a couple minutes up and down the block, and I guess I ended up going down. I went down, couldn't get back up.
You mean you fell down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, I was using a cane at the time.
Ah, I see. Okay. All right.
And anyway, I ended up taking an ambulance ride from some helpful stranger who to this day I do not know who is. But anyway, they got me in an ambulance and they took me to St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way. And come to find out, excuse me one second, guys.
Oh, no problem. Hold on for one second.
He's in the hospital.
Take your time, bro.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when you go to the hospital, well, it's okay. When you go to the hospital, you know, it takes a long time. You have to wait.
Yeah. Okay, I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, damn. That was quick. Okay.
All right. Yep. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, no.
Hey, so anyway, come to find out that my cirrhosis of the liver was getting worse. When I first found out about it, I had like 20% of my liver left. And it was getting worse by the day, and I was taking medication and all the good stuff, right? And anyway, they told me, so you, young man, at 53 years old, you need a liver transplant. And basically, you don't, I said, well, what kind of time frame are we looking at? And I said, months, weeks, days. He goes, how about hours?
Jesus.
I was like, oh, shysters, right?
Well, did you get a transplant in hours?
It wasn't quite that bad. They were being a little extensive. Anyway, I spent the next 2-3 months in the hospital, keeping me alive.
That's got to be cheap.
Oh no! It's not cheap. Thank you.
Really?
Insurance.
Huh? I'm stunned by that. Right? Wow.
So anyway, they finally hem-hawed me around. This is just before Christmas, and they said, "Hey, we found you a liver." Wake up the next morning. They said, "Oh, it's going to be an easy day today." Liver fell through. Didn't work out. That happened 2 more times that same week. So by the by this time I'm going, well, maybe it's just not meant to be, right? And so I, doctor came in the last night and he said, we're going to get you up in the morning and get you ready to get prepped. We have a liver for you. Well, I'll be damned. Everything worked out. This is January 3rd. And so I am a surviving liver transplant.
Oh, get out of here. That's awesome, man.
Yep.
Next time we see you, I'll buy you a shot.
You're a funny guy.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Bearded shot from a buddy over there. He's like Larry Hagman. He can ruin another one. No one cares.
Stop praying his new liver.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in all fairness, when we picked up Ted from his rehab thing for whatever, not rehab, but counseling, whatever it was, we always had a 12-pack in the car.
Yeah. Well, Ted would always say, hey, man, look, if you're going to come pick me up, man, just, like, have some beer, you know, when you get there.
All right.
And no worries, man.
It was a voluntary class.
Yeah, well, I mean, it helped.
Drug and alcohol counseling. Yeah, exactly. We'll be stoned when we pick you up, and we're going to go to the bar.
12-pack of Miller Lights in the back. Jump on in. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Thank God! Coming up, we will drink, we will toast with a shot of the day, then the return of Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey man, this is your fault.
Sham on. Today we celebrate the rain with the Weather Girls.
It's
And as somebody pointed out earlier, that the song Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, same song, different perspective.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That takes on Rupert Holmes and the Pina Colada song.
If you like Pina Colada, get caught in the rain.
From what we understand, the voting was tight last time you checked there, Mike. You can vote on which tune we play on a Bad Choice Friday by following us on Twitter at Men's Room Live and then getting to vote. We'll play that tune, one of those. Right after we drink a toast with a shot of the day.
What, neck and neck voting there?
That is unbelievably tight.
It is.
I told you.
It really is.
Men's Room Blank question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK. Let's see what happens on this segment.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What's up, you greasy bitches?
Hola.
All right, guys, I'm going to make this quick. So I used to work at a recycle facility here in the Seattle area. I'm not going to name the name because I'm sure all my boys are still there. What's up, Justin? Anyway, I'm a heavy equipment operator, and I used to run excavator for these guys. And the way this facility works is these truck drivers come in with these 40 and 50-foot cans, these big cans, and they got big double doors on the back, and they stand these cans up, and they dump out all these, all this garbage. It's like usually, it's typically demolished houses or, you know, it's construction garbage.
Okay. Much.
So it all shows up. It gets dumped out. Well, we have these guys, these labor guys that are called pickers. And they, when it dumps, before the loader guy shoves it into the main pile, these pickers, they just do a one over on the pile and look for any like precious metals, copper, silver, anything that they can pick out that's more valuable than normal recyclables, right? Because a whole house goes into the can. They don't take anything out before they put it in there.
So. Or a decent looking toilet. You know what? I'm going to take that home.
Right, exactly. You know, anything. So we had this one guy that was super short, and I mean, like he was sub 5 foot, right? Little guy, but he was a wiry little guy, so he was all over the place. So this can comes in and dumps, and so this picker, he's running around, you know, looking for the copper and all this crap. Well, I went in to do a break for the guy that runs the feeding excavator in there. So there's a machine, the excavator grabs the material, feeds it onto a conveyor belt that feeds it through the plant, right? So there's typically one excavator operator, one laborer, and one other guy in there just kind of doing random stuff. Well, because I was breaking out the feed guy, I was the only other set of eyes in there, right? So this can drops. The picker's around there. He gets around the back side of the pile, and he's picking, right? Well, this new guy on a loader comes around the lot to the front side. He doesn't see this short guy in the back. Hits the pile and starts shoving it into the main pile. This guy, it knocks him over in the back side of the pile. He's in between the fresh pile that got dumped and the pile, the main pile, and getting shoved across the floor by a loader into this other pile, right? So I just happen to look over and see this guy, and his eyes are the size of dinner plates, and he looks up at me knowing that I'm the only set of eyes in there, and we make eye contact, right? This guy's going to die if I don't do something, right? So I'm on my horn trying to get the loader operator's attention. Well, he must be having his music on or whatever, doesn't hear me, just keeps going. Shoves this guy into the pile. I had to jump out of my excavator, take my hard hat off, and wing it across the yard, bounce it off the windshield of the guy running the loader, and he throws his arms up like, what the hell, man? You know, and I'm screaming. He stopped with this guy three quarters buried in garbage. He was getting ready to lift a load and dump it on top of him into the pile.
Jesus.
And if I hadn't have seen him, he'd have got buried, covered up. Nobody would have known he was there, and I would have dug him out with the excavator. And
did he buy you a 12-pack?
He was very thankful that I was there. We'll just put it that way, yeah.
Yeah. Did he unzip your pants and service you? Now, once you made eye... Did this dude just keep his eyes on you? Once you guys made eye contact, I'm guessing he did nothing but look at you.
He was screaming, obviously, but because this plant is so huge, I couldn't hear what he was saying.
What? I can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly. I was staring at him, and all I could make out was, you know, help me.
Right.
Was coming out, like, out of his mouth, you know what I mean? Just screaming, help me. And, yeah, it was pretty scary situation, man. It shook me up so bad, I ended up having to go home because, you know, I would have cut the guy into a bunch of little pieces with a gigantic
computer. Look, anytime something traumatic happens at work, just say, like, I need to go home.
Oh, yeah. It was a normal day all the way up until.
Now, was the guy apologetic who was pushing the guy back, the guy on the truck?
He was such a young kid. He was a young guy that, you know, he just started running heavy equipment and stuff. Shook him up pretty bad. He ended up quitting and stuff over it, but...
He ended up quitting over that.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
not bad. I mean, he almost killed a guy.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, but
okay.
Almost.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm just trying to look at the bright side of it. Like, yeah, I know it's bad, but you almost killed him. You didn't think how bad you'd feel if you did.
Men's Room Blank question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
He would feel much worse, but I don't... I get where he's coming from. Like, eh, maybe this isn't the job for me.
Yeah, I almost killed a man. I should go home.
Right?
Hello, Alan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So 2 years ago, I worked for the parks department in down in Kent. And one day, I'm just working on the field at an athletic field. So a bunch of kids are playing baseball and stuff. Big old group of family. The whole park is packed. I go off to my lunch break back at the shop. I come back, everyone's off the field, and there's cop cars. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I ask one of the cops what happened, and they said, oh, yeah, a parent decided to flash a gun.
Oh, good.
During a baseball game?
During baseball games. They're like
Little League?
9, 10-year-olds. Yeah, Little League.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a gun for that.
Mm-hmm.
point it right at the other child who's the umpire.
Yeah.
I guess that guy was arrested and taken away?
Yeah, that's what was told. He ended up like walking back to his car, and that's where the cops found him. Needless to say, not many people came back to the field that day.
No, I bet not.
Yeah.
That's kind of a party pooper.
Especially for the kid.
You know what
the kid's going... I mean, every kid on the field, traumatized. But the actual, child of that person.
Well, yeah, because they got to live with the fact that your parents are the idiot.
Right.
Well, but he also has to go home with that guy.
Sure. Yeah, you know what I mean? There's that too.
Man, well,
sure.
You got to go home with him, but as somebody who's had to leave many a ballpark because their father got ejected, you just... It's what Thrill said. You're just like, oh, now...
How many times did you have to leave a ballpark?
Probably 4 or 5.
Four or five from just yelling at the umpire or yelling at other parents?
Yelling at umpires. Because my brother's 7 years older, right?
Okay.
So I would tag along to go see my brother play, and then my dad would generally get into it with the umpire or something.
I am amazed at how passionate the parents... I mean, even my kid playing soccer, you know? And it's like, look, you're cheering for your kid, you know, but some parents are absolutely freaking out. Either, you know, their kid's not playing hard enough. See, this poor kid's just getting berated by someone. You know, their parent, like, why'd you let him do that? Or there'll be a dirty play, you know, and the kids pull each other down. And, you know, hear the parents freaking out. And you're like, bro, it's soccer. They elbow each other. Like, look, I don't know if you know this about sports when both teams are on the field at the same time. Football, basketball. I mean, hell, baseball, if a guy's going for a base, right? I mean, it's like they make contact. They understand this. And the kids aren't even mad at each other. It's how the game is played. So, yes, that kid elbowed your kid. And do you know why? Because your kid elbowed that kid. And you know what they're going to do for the rest of the game? They're going to elbow each other. And then do you know what they do because the coaches make them? They're going to shake hands and not worry about it.
And eat their orange slices.
Right. Right.
I'll also say this.
Their kids let them play. Mm-hmm. And that is how the game is played.
You might have not only that, but you might have an adult. But half the time it's a 17-year-old, 18-year-old girl or guy out there. And they're in high school and they play soccer or whatever, but they're the only person on the field. Every once in a while, you have a line judge.
Sure.
But for the most part, it's a one-man show.
Person, right.
So, you know, you can't really bitch about who kicked the ball out of bounds when it's the angle's not right or who gets possession.
Again,
just basic things. You have to understand that that guy can't do everything.
It's not a professional sport, and we're not betting on it.
Right.
So in that instant, this is all 100% meaningless other than them having fun and learning sportsmanship.
Sure.
Right?
And half the time, you walk off and go, it's a tie. So, what's the difference?
Depending on age.
It's soccer.
And trust me, kids know the goal count. You can try to tell them, oh, it came to a tie, like, we won 7-5.
Yeah, there's the other side, too. Like, my cousin Tom, he would always referee basketball games, right? Mm-hmm. Even before he had kids. But he would do it at the school he grew up in. And the lady that ran, like, the scoreboard, I guess, in the score, either way, she was a giant pain in the butt. Like, if you walked into the gym while, like, the game was going on, like when there was a stoppage in play, she would walk over and scold you.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God.
Wow.
I mean, to this day, if I brought her up to my cousin Tom, I'd be like, oh my God, she was the worst. she took it too serious on the other end of being like easy.
You're
like the scorekeeper. Right. You hit the...
When I was sixth grade, it was really cool to hit those buttons and watch the points go up. But, you know, I'd tell you what quarter it is. But after that, it kind of loses its flair.
Right. Exactly.
It's only like 7 buttons on it. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Rob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, it was September 11th. Yes, that September 11th. And I watched the second plane hit the second tower and I went to work. I was walking across a pallet of wood and there was a nail sticking up that I didn't see. So I put a 6-inch nail through my foot and went and got tetanus shot, cleaned up everything. But that's not the worst part of the story. I get home from work and I go do a belt test for Taekwondo. I do a jump, reverse, hook, spin kick, land on the side of my foot, and my knee goes pop.
Oh.
And I hyperextended my knee and couldn't walk for 2 days.
That's a hell of a date for you in history, isn't it?
And let me guess, you got very little sympathy for all this on that particular day.
So when most of us are watching these tributes, you know what I mean, of all the things that happened bad that day, all you can think about is just missing that spin kick and not advancing in your belt.
I got my belt. So the good
you didn't get your belt.
All right,
sweet,
I didn't get the belt.
Even with the 6-inch nail.
At the end of the test, it was a... Well, no, that was... it was the... the hole in my foot that caused me to land on the side of my foot that caused me to hyperextend my knee.
Oh, so you're trying not to land on that pressure point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, that's still the day that nobody cares.
Right.
Man, I put a nail through my... Shh,
nope.
Shh, quiet, man.
Nope.
I'm concentrating.
And I was on crutches for 2 days, and work was all, whatever.
Right.
So I got off the crutches and... Yeah.
Has there ever been
the whole story?
Can I ask you a question? Could you, based on what happened to your knee, could you attempt that move again?
I wouldn't attempt that move again, no.
You would not. All right.
I can do hook kicks, but I can't do the jump and land on
the... Wait, what exactly is the hook kick? I get the roundhouse part, but what's the hook part?
It's where you hit somebody with the heel of the foot, so you essentially stick your foot out and hook it back on them.
Boom. Gotcha.
Yeah. Have you ever had to use? Have you ever had to open up a can of Kung Fu in real life?
Just once, but I threw one kick, and my buddy had the guy on the ground in a chokehold. Before we were drinking at one of the bars in Tacoma, and my buddy wasn't drunk. The guy pushed me in the back of the head, and I I spun on him, and before I had a chance to get on him, my buddy had him on the ground, and. He wasn't drunk. My buddy wasn't drunk. The other guy's was, but...
Did that kind of piss you off?
Had to use it in real life.
I'd be kind of irritated. Like, look, man, I appreciate my buddy, you know, coming to my rescue. Yeah. Like, bro, let me break out the Kung Fu, man. Right.
This is like practicing for, you know, any sport and never really getting in to play the game. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like if you go to a dojo. So, did your buddy know martial arts?
Oh, absolutely. He's been training since he was 3 years old.
All right. Okay. Because, like, if he just beat somebody's ass regularly,
right?
You know what I mean? But you get all this knowledge.
You guys always go for the kick first. It always seems like, you know.
He's got the old school black belt. His teacher, he started off with a white belt at 3 years old, and by the time he was 17, that belt had gotten so dirty it was black.
The old school black belt. I've never heard that one.
Well, believe it or not, my understanding is the reason it went from white to black was just based on, at the time that the first teaching martial arts, most of the people taking martial arts are dirt poor, right?
All right.
And the idea was, we'll start with the white belt. By the time it starts getting super disgusting, you've probably improved enough so you could dye the belt to get darker and darker. That was honest to God why it was. So it's like, look, we'll start with the white belt, which means, you know, you're the tenderfoot, the novice, you're new to this, whatever the case is. But these cats, way back in the day, could not afford to replace a belt. So it's like, you know what? We will simply dye it darker as we go along.
Men's room blank question. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-RUN.
I thought I was the martial arts guy.
In other words, if you know Kung Fu, it's because you're broke. That's what I take away from that.
I just can't believe the move is what ruined you.
What do you mean?
Just the attempt to try to make that kick is what dislocated your knee.
Well, he had a nail gone through his foot,
I
man.
I understand that, yeah.
Right, so he was off his normal balance.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And would still kick our ass. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you'd go and take that test after a 6-inch nail.
That was kind of my thought, too. Like, right. Hey.
Code of the warrior.
They cry on the inside, Miles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello, man. Bleed on the inside.
Push that down inside.
I bleed on the inside. We call that hemorrhaging.
Right.
Hello, Dusty.
You're going to die.
Right. But, hello, Dusty. Welcome to the men's room.
How the heck are you?
Hola.
Hola.
Dusty.
Okay. I'll make it quick. It was a wonderful, wonderful story. I used to live over on Oahu. Did my thing with, you know, only twice a year you can take your test to become a tattoo artist or get your license. So you have to take your test. You got to wait, and you know, however long later, then they tell you if you passed or whatever.
I'm sorry.
So,
what did you say, Dusty? Again, what did you say? You're taking the test in taxidermy?
Tattooing.
That'd be awesome. But
all right, I'm thinking that guy. I'm thinking that Geico commercial.
Yeah.
I'm a tax attorney. What did you say?
Yeah. No, it was taxidermy as well, but
yeah.
No, tattooing.
Okay.
So
I took my test a couple months before. I finally got my results back. I passed the test, got my license, decided to celebrate. Went out, got to go surfing that day. Always a good day to start, when you're surfing. And then so I end up going out to, had a really good day, going out to dinner that night with, I'm just going to refer to her as Island Skank Barbie.
And, okay.
So we go out to sushi, we do all this, do that, super, super good food, what have you. We're on our way home, and when we went out to dinner, we were down in Waikiki, and then so we lived over in Mililani, which was up towards the Dole Plantation, so it took maybe a half hour to get home. Well, in between that time, you know, I'm driving this car with this hot chick, and I've got gases, and I'm trying not to unload in the car. So we pull over for gas, ironically, and she goes into the store. Well, I'm pumping the gas, and I'm like, yeah, this is my time to let it loose, get it all out with the trade winds. And normally I wore board shorts, surfboard shorts underneath my pants just because I surf so much. And I let it out, and I crap myself all down my
freaking head. Oh, no.
Like it was like a soft serve.
Ah.
Oh, man, it was horrible. But I was wearing flip-flops, and of course, it went all the way down my leg, on my feet, and everything. Anyway, she didn't know. So, I mean, she's still thinking, oh, this is a great night. We're so fun. We're just going to go make out and all that fun stuff. Well, we get in the car. I roll down the windows, and she doesn't know why all of a sudden I'm super upset. I book ass home, and she's all trying to get in the mood or, you know, what have you. But my initial actions once I got home was to run straight to the bathroom, fully showered with all my clothes on, and then fully clean myself. But
Did you have sex that night?
I totally did.
Okay, well, good. Totally. See, it all came out in the end. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
It's a win.
That is a win if you say, look, man, I...
Because if you can't
secretly poop myself and still had sex with this woman later that night.
Mm-hmm. It was just a regular day until blank happened. 206-421-ROCK.
I really liked him, but he smelled funny.
I can't explain it.
Hello, Bart. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight, man?
Hola.
Hola. Hey, you know what? When I was a young man, and that was many, many moons ago, I was an Adonis of athleticism on my 12 feet.
Okay.
I bought this 12 feet from a guy that won it at a raffle that was worth billions of dollars, really. It was an Italian-made Bocchetta 12 feet. And so I rode it forever, and then Melissa moved 42 miles away to the lake. So to see Melissa, I had to ride to the lake. So on the ride to the lake, you had a long stretch of beautiful country roads. You go see Melissa on Sunday. It's 65 degrees. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm dipping down this hill, just roasting. And all of a sudden, I'm in the air. I am exploded just everywhere. I hit the pavement and a tumble of everything, and I have no clue what, why. And as fast as I can tell you this, just as the pain is starting to happen, and I'm starting to realize I'm on the ground, I hear these tires and I hear footsteps, and I look up and I see this woman in this really nice Sunday dress. She's looking down at me and she says, "Are you okay?" And I think I'm thinking I'm talking to myself. I don't know why. I went, "Hell yeah, kick me!" And she just went, "Oh!" And she walked off. And then I realized blood is dripping off me in several places, and I'm starting to come to more, and I'm in pain now. And I'm trying to look around, and all of a sudden there's a pickup truck right beside me, about 2 foot from my head. And then I orientate, I'm in front of this farmer's driveway. And I look over, and there's this little black blob laying about 6 feet over in the middle of the road. And there's this pickup truck sitting there, and I'm like, oh, damn. And I find my glasses, they're miraculously in perfect condition. And I put them on, and I realized this little black dog's hair, or little black blob, is a little black dog, and it's hairy. And the guy is getting out of the pickup truck, and I'm trying to stand up. And he's Joe Bob the farmer. He looks down at me and he goes, well, at least I don't have to tell her I killed the little son of a bitch. Excuse my language. And I'm like, wow. Oh, okay. And I look at my bike and it's mangled. Front tire's just mangled. And he goes, well, suppose I'll have to take you somewhere and get you repaired. I'm like, well, you know, this would be a great kindness. And somewhere is like 35 miles away. And so I go to reach for the door of the truck, and he goes, oh, hell no, get in the back. So.
What did you do to the dog? You need to tell them what you did to the dog.
The dog was no more.
He killed the dog.
I've seen his head.
He killed the dog.
Good Lord. He told me he was riding his bicycle, went flying because he decapitated a dog.
Oh, yeah, lead with that, man.
You told that so much quicker.
He told me the original version much quicker.
And it was more interesting.
There was no farmer. There was no truck. There was no lady in a sundress.
I hate to say this, but on a positive Friday thing, the most positive thing that happened is we're done with calls right now for this couple seconds.
Yes.
But we do have the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC coming up. And, of course, Bad Choice Friday, which is It's Raining Men from the Weather Girls and Escape the Pina Colada song from Rupert Holmes. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.